So now we come to our reading today, which is Ephesians 3, 1-21. I'm reading from the NIV. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in their generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family and heaven on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, for ever and ever. Amen. Sorry, I probably will have a dry throat at times today. So, last week, for those that were here and for those that weren't, we talked about new beginnings. We looked at Paul and his Damascus Road experience. We talked about how the new beginning was for all of us, not just for me. When the Lord offers us a new beginning, he wants us to grasp it. A new beginning for us as a church. Few in number, already stretched. Fewer of us, and those few doing many jobs. How can we equip ourselves to do the work God wants us to do? What a better place to start than a new beginning from a place of love. Paul was writing here from prison. He knew that what God required was unity, love for one another, for Jew and Gentile to be united in the Holy Spirit. For us to be rooted in faith, we must be rooted in love. Our deeds done in love for one another. The love that Jesus has for us that spills out into our love and care for others. The love of God is all about giving, and the love of Christ is about giving when it's not deserved. If last week's talk was about new beginnings, then this week is about beginning on the right foot, so to speak, beginning with love. If you think of Jesus and were asked to think of his best characteristic, it would likely be love. If we identify as a spiritual family, then we will act practically like a family, helping each other, loving each other when it's difficult, in all circumstances, all parts working together for the common goal, to bring others into the light, to know Christ. Have you seen a person and felt that they radiated love? Someone told me last week that I looked radiant and asked what my secret cream was. At the time, it was after a funeral actually, and I said it was probably the one glass of wine that makes my cheeks flushed. However, I knew what it was. I'm happy. I'm happy to be working for Christ, a privilege I've long hoped for. Last week we had our fellowship lunch, and Bea came. For those of you that don't know Bea, she's been here many years, but as of late she can't come and worship with us. But her daughter brought her. And we all sat round, we had several tables, but we sat round a large table and Bea was opposite me. And she undoubtedly couldn't hear very much of the conversation. She didn't eat her jacket potato, and it turns out she doesn't like potato. But she was smiling more than I've ever seen her smile before. She was radiant. She was surrounded by people that she loved and that loved her, her church family. She radiated that love of Christ from within. If we love one another, that love is evident to those that come in. 33 people for lunch, not all Christians, but those that love coming to church through the love they feel here. How can we be radiant? How can we radiate the love we feel inside on the outside? We need to love one another. Verse 17, Christ will live in your hearts. And if he does, you can only be filled with love. Thinking about firm foundations, being rooted in love. When I think of roots, two things spring to mind. Firstly, a tree as a plant. What you see on top or on the outside is only a fraction of what goes on underneath. And the parable of the sower, probably one of the most famous references to this, still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. If we are the soil, the foundation, we need to look after that, nurture it, feed it, so that what's on the outside for the world to see is a reflection of that. I was given a rose as a gift for my induction. And when it was given to me, it was just a large bag of earth with only 3 small bare branches on the top. Already, its leaves are sprouting. And the unique thing about it is that it's called the rambling rector. Seemingly, because of my love of walking, not because of my sermons, although she hasn't yet heard me preach. I once had the very unique opportunity of visiting Antarctica with my mum, and the icebergs that we passed on the ship were like the size of a small house, yet only a third was visible above the water. It was astounding that twice the amount of ice could be under the water, the foundation of what we could see on the top. Our faith has to be deep-rooted. Those we meet will only get the opportunity to see a very small amount of us. The rest is hidden, but that's rooted in our beliefs. What's on the outside can only be authentically seen if the inside is right. You can't show love on the outside if the inside is in turmoil or bitter. You won't produce good fruit. As I laid in bed last night, I don't usually take my phone to bed, but I do for an alarm on a Sunday. And I was laying there in the dark, and then I suddenly said to John Paul, I've just got to write something down. And I could see him raising his eyebrows even in the dark. But I was thinking about the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Firstly in mind, I pictured a tree with the words on the branches, as I once painted an image like this for my friend. But next, I had a picture of seeing those words above your heads as I look at you this morning. What I pictured was sitting here looking at you, and there was arrows pointing to the gifts that you had. And I've learned over the years all the gifts you have. Some of those continue to be revealed to me as we get to know each other better. We all endeavour to have and exhibit all of the gifts. Some of us are naturally more patient and others more joyful. And many of these gifts are intertwined in our personalities. And hard as we try, some gifts are easier to exercise than others. However, the picture was clear to me. You each had an arrow with a word. A room full of those who exhibit the fruits of the Spirit, not a fruit bowl. It was commented to me by one of my friends that came to my induction how welcoming people were here. We don't have to tell people to welcome those when they come in. It's rooted in what we do. We don't need a discussion prior to an event. Who will welcome who? Welcoming people is natural to us. It's what we do. It was commented also to me by a friend's husband after they'd had a conversation here. He said to his wife, "They want to recruit you." Yes, of course, we'd like more people to join us on a Sunday, but that's not our ultimate goal, is it? We want to introduce them to Jesus, to living a Christ-centered life, an eternal life. And well done to those that are prepared to have those conversations. At times you'll come across those that are difficult. You may have to love another person that you can feel is undeserving. But we have hope that we will see the results in time. Love will hopefully come back to you. God has a hand in that. That's what God does. He loves us, the undeserving sinners that we are. Jew and Gentile are reconciled. From the two, he created a new humanity, the ultimate expression of the redeeming work of Christ. Verses 20 to 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Paul's prayer to us was that we would come to understand the incomprehensible love of Christ, and therefore, through the power of the Holy Spirit, be filled with the completeness of God, concluding with praise to God. God's marvellous plan for the Jews and the Gentiles was for unity first, and the natural consequence of this was that they became rooted in love. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you now. It is you from all heaven and earth acquire their name. We pray that from your glorious riches you will strengthen us with power through your Holy Spirit. That Christ lives in us. We pray that we are rooted and established in love. As a community of your people, May we grasp how high, deep, and wide is your love for us. May we be filled to the brim with the knowledge of this. We give glory and thanks to you, Father. You who will do immeasurably more than we could ever ask for. May our love for you be obvious to those we meet. May it go before us, surround us, and be left in our wake. In Jesus' name, Amen.